Hello, America, and all of our listeners all around the world. You're listening to yet another exciting and, let's be honest, kind of belated edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you can tell from my voice, but I am exhausted. a little bit more than I usually sound. So I guess I haven't talked about this in a while on the show, but I am, you know, working diligently on my education online with a career step, so I can get my certification as a medical biller and coder. Well, the deadline to that is fast approaching. It's going to be at my, it runs out Friday, not this Friday, the next Friday. So I am probably going to, no, not probably. I'm definitely going to need the 3-month extension. Yeesh. Yeah. Cause, this shit's, you know, it's, I mean, they tell you, like, beforehand, it's like, look, we're going to be giving you a bunch of information. You're kind of getting, like, a med student crash course. But just remember, you're not actually a med student, and you're not going to be expected to remember all of this. Just have a general hang of it, because, you know, in order to be an effective medical coder, you have to, you know some medical terminology and learn how to read a doctor's handwriting.
Right. Which is a skill in and of itself.
Yeah.
That's true.
You also have to learn, you know, the guidelines about what you got to do, when you can send a query to the physician, you know, all that stuff. And that was all fine. I've been doing great up until the last section, which is the actual coding practicum. And the thing about the coding practicum is it's basically giving you a kind of crash course on learning abstraction. Because up to this point, all of the information that you've been given has been sort of neatly categorized, you know, so that you can, you know, kind of easily interpret it, you know, look up in the code books where you need to go, use the encoder, and it's pretty, it's pretty cut and dry, right?
Right.
Well, now I'm using actual, like, physician's notes and memos. So, like, these are, like, what actual, you get the physician's report, you know, and you got to code this. This is what they actually look like. And, you know, some of them aren't too bad. You know, some of them are fairly easy because, you know, the doctors actually go out of their way to make sure that, you know, all the proper information is categorized in the way it needs to. But that's not the case all of the time. And so that, on top of the fact that, you know, the deadline is fast approaching, means that I'm a little high-strung and stressed and making more mistakes. And I'm going to need that extension. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there's some other stuff I've been dealing with. It's nothing major or anything, but I'll be talking about it in a little bit. But anyway, with that out of the way, this episode is going to be for June 21st, 2019. And this week, a bunch of dumb people did a bunch of dumb shit.
Isn't that like that the could summary be the name for of every week?
Yeah, but it's just oddly grouped together this way. This week.
It's like a handful of serious stories and the rest of it is dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
By people who you would think are old enough to know better.
Well.
But no.
Stupidity is prevalent in all ages.
Yeah. Ignorance is something that can be cured, but you can't fix stupid.
Nope.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, amongst other things, the GOP tried to make AOC backpedal over a certain comment about stuff going down on the border. John Stewart proved once again why he's America's greatest hero. A certain creepy-ass fundamentalist accused child molester is trying to run for Senate again, and even his own party doesn't want him. Bill Cosby is currently rotting away in a jail cell, and yet he's acting like everything's A-OK. Elon Musk did something stupid.
Again?
Something weird is on the far side of the moon. We'll talk about it much later on, but I'll just go ahead and say it now. Neon Genesis Evangelion is now on Netflix as of today.
Yes. Sweet.
The whole localization has been redone pretty much top to bottom, I've heard. So you'll basically, because, yeah, if you were like us when we were younger and watched the dubs.
No bueno.
Yeah, that's where I will leave that. But anyway. So, with that out of the way, it's now time to start the show, as always we do. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I'm still going through The Expanse, like in season 3 now, like I said, but getting close to the end of it. I don't know if any of you guys do this when you're getting close to the end of the series. You kind of space the episodes out a little bit more than you normally would.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
It's like, yeah, no. You've only got a few left and kind of want to savor them. So
I'm a freight train.
No, I just devour.
It's like, we've gone too far. We can't stop now.
So I've been doing that, and I'll finish it this weekend. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that the date for season 4 hasn't been set yet, so chances are I will have finished it by the time they announce that date, which I would freaking hope so, because I've only got like 4 episodes left. So, but anyway, apart from that, Bloodstained, but I'm going to save that for Sunday because I have thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of thoughts.
Are they good thoughts? Are they bad thoughts?
They are lots of thoughts. So we'll say that, save that for Sunday.
Does any of them involve a certain game-breaking bug that may or may not have forced you to restart the whole thing?
See, I didn't run into that. Because what they did on the PS4 version was, like, immediately as soon as they found that bug,
yeah,
they made the base version, the fixed version.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, if you... And because Kickstarter backers, for some reason, had to wait until Wednesday, we got the version that was fixed.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, because for some reason, even though you back a game 4 years ago, you're the last ones to get the codes. So that's weird, how that works. Yeah. But it worked out in the end. So apart from that, well, I want to mention that my ISP, Tech Savvy Solutions Incorporated, is really awesome. And, like, how often does that, does anybody ever say that?
Definitely not in the U.S.
So, I had a 60 megabit connection, 60 down, 10 up, got an email from Tech Savvy, says, hey, your 60 megabit connection, yeah, that's going away. We're just going to upgrade you to 100 megabits down and 30 up, and it's going to be the same price, so, good.
So, now, see, if that happened in the U.S., they'd just make you buy it.
Yeah. So, free upgrade, and, the speed increase kicked in this morning. I tested it out. It's solid. So, hopefully, my Skyping will be a little bit more stable now that I have a little bit more upstream. Substantially more upstream.
Yeah.
So, apart from that...
See, in Phil's country, the ISPs actually have to compete with each other to get his money.
Yeah.
Whereas in the U.S., they basically have whole regions of the country by the ball sack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting because the telcos and the cable companies have to sell their lines to other companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and those companies, well, they have a base tier of pricing that they can compete on. It means that we get service that is actually kind of good when it works. Which is most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of been it. I'm kind of looking forward to Sunday and looking forward to later tonight when I can sit down and play more Bloodstained. So that's
all right.
That's it. How about you, Pat?
First of all, I've been sort of getting started on a new Xbox 360 because Facebook Marketplace is really remarkable. And I got a new 250 gig Xbox 360 S for $30.
Wow.
Damn. Unfortunately,
oh yeah, this is the thing with the queue, right?
Yeah, downloading your previously purchased titles on a new Xbox 360 is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it's that list that's like four items, and sometimes they're listed so they don't show anything.
Yeah, and so I have to sort through a very slow-loading list of past downloads.
Yeah. What's even greater is that there's a queue limit on the number of items that you can add to the queue, and even when you hit that limit, it doesn't actually tell you that you've hit that limit.
It just freezes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not an easy way to manage the list.
Nope. it's a mess.
But I am gradually getting all of my games on there. I just want to play some fucking Marble Blast Ultra, damn it. other than that, I've been getting ready to start producing all manner of videos for my YouTube channel. I've got some Final Fantasy XIV stuff in the works. I've got some Sound Off in the works. A couple of other odds and ends here and there. We'll see. We'll see how it goes, but all told, I'm really looking forward to the next couple of weeks doing these because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I'm just, as I speak, watching the 2019 NHL draft to see how the Colorado Avalanche and San Jose Sharks do. And there's a lot of intrigue surrounding the former tonight. It sounds like a couple of trades are already done deals. So if you hear me react, then just understand that I'm trying to restrain myself, but restraint can fail. So
all right.
That's where we're at right now.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
I have been playing Final Fantasy XIV.
Yes.
Finished up the dungeon part of Stormblood and going through the aftermath and really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But other than that, I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns and, you know, of course, my usual other mobile-y stuff like Pokemon Go and whatnot. I don't think I've been watching any TV. I can't remember watching TV. I finished, or I got current on, it's not Good Omens, that's next. What was the other, I don't remember. And, American Gods. And then life ended because there was nothing else to watch. So, until Good Omens, which, is on my queue, but other than that, it's just been running around doing summer stuff.
Yeah, you could watch Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I could watch that because kid got a PlayStation 4, so he is definitely not in the room with me almost all the time. Spider-Man bit him, so I think that's going to be a while. So yeah, I probably could get through a good bit of Mr. Robot.
Yeah, it's worth it.
And I thought about that the other day too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's about it.
All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so it's been rain for the past couple weeks around here.
Yep.
To the point of having some flooding. Luckily not, like, directly around here, but some of the nearby rivers and places that tend to get floods during heavy rains definitely got them. And, like, you know, getting those nice flood warning alerts that last for 3 or 4 days. It's like, oh, sometime it's going to rain a lot. But yeah, luckily haven't been out in it too much. But today was like the one nice day we get. It was like about mid-70s, nice and sunny for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to start raining again. Maybe like Sunday night. Tomorrow might be okay, so. Yeah, that's been weird. It was weird driving home during like a real bad kind of bout of rain where everybody just decided, you know what, we're going 20 miles an hour on the highway now for a little bit. And I kept looking to the person's windshield ahead of me. It's like, there's nobody in front of you. You have no reason to drive this slow. I'm wanting to just run them off the road. I just so I could get to home a little bit earlier, but no, nothing that fun. As for other things, been watching The Flash Season 5. It's up on Netflix now. I finished that, and a lot of stuff goes on, because the main bad guy is named Cicada, played by Chris Klein, which took me a while to realize it was Chris Klein, because the first few episodes, he's got a mask on. Then when they show him, I'm like, that guy seems familiar. I eventually figured out it was Chris Klein. I was like, holy shit. Because he's not good. I'm going to have to show you. I'm going to look up videos that somebody put on Twitter for this. Because he's not very good. He's not a very convincing villain figure. He doesn't know how to look like a bad guy, which is pretty bad for being a villain in a comic series. Okay, I got the link here. Let's see. Put it in the chat real quick. And yeah, he's got this knife. He just like kind of tries to scrunch his face and speak like Christian Bale Batman. And he does this for most of the season.
Oh my god.
And it's like he has no idea how to look evil. Because he's just a pretty boy. It doesn't really ruin it. It's just like, well, he's here, I guess. Hopefully he's not here for much longer. And like his character doesn't really make too much sense, because he has like a, it's like the whole thing that sets off this season is that the previous finale, the Flash destroys this dark matter filled satellite. And so that dark matter filled satellite turns into lots of dangerous pieces that happen to hit some people and turn them into metas. And so they just, lots of shit happens, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple twists. One of them I knew right away what it was going to be, because it made sense. And yeah, the way the end is like, all right, well, there's some new stuff here. Chris Klein is no longer here, so everything's okay. And yeah, I'm ready for next season to happen at some point. I kind of dipped it a little bit into Supergirl, because I was like, well, I'm going to watch something else, and I don't want to watch the depressing Arrow. There's a fun episode where Arrow and the Flash swap bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the guy who plays Flash was technically the Arrow for a bit, and eventually it swaps back, I guess. I kind of forget what exactly happened, but that was neat for a little bit. But yeah, that was all right. I tried to watch a little bit of Evangelion. I think I finished the first two episodes. And the big issue I have is it has an English dub, no subtitles for that dub. There are English subtitles for the Japanese dub. So it's like, all right, great. It makes it a little bit harder to follow along a little bit. It's like, I hate anime does this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you made an English dub, and fuck anybody that likes having subtitles for that. Instead of it just being like, oh, I guess that's kind of what he said. It's just remixed a little bit because it's not for English. That's always a bummer.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, you're trying to sell us to English audiences. Like, fucking put the script in as the subtitles as another option. But yeah, other than that, it's weird. That's all I have to say after.
Yeah, that's like, that is the least you can say about Evangelion. Yeah.
It's basically at the point where Shinji moves in with Mitsuko, I think it's her name.
The clearly much older woman who is...
Who they definitely take time out of their show to have her bend over and show her ass and show her boobs.
Yeah.
Make sure you know that she's a woman.
Mid-90s anime.
Yep. And there's a little bit of
oh, and then there's her weird little emperor penguin roommate.
Which results in a scene where Shinji is naked.
Yeah, that happens a lot in that show too.
It's like, alright, here's a little child porn with the tits and ass and shit. It's like, alright, this is 90s anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed okay. What else? trying to rewatch Stranger Things with season three starting about 2 weeks. Yeah, that's been pretty good. And
like, are those kids getting really big now?
A little bit. I think in the first season they're like probably like 11 or 12. So they're probably about 14 or 15. But they're not like, it's not like a Harry Potter situation where they're like adults.
Yeah. Well, like we watched, what is that? Godzilla, King of Monsters. Yeah. And I didn't even realize that was Millie Bobby Brown in it until somebody told me a week later.
Yeah, definitely. That stuff's been fun. Yeah, it's not like a Lost situation where the kid just got a growth spurt and they're like, we have to write you out of the show because you're a teenager and it's supposed to be, you know, weeks or months after the start, sort of thing. And that's been pretty good so far. I've been doing a lot of streaming this week, kind of getting back into it. Last weekend I did some streaming for, I forget what I was streaming. I have to look up the Smash Pad thing, but on Tuesday I did some Moonlighter, which I like a lot. They got an update that's coming out at sometime later this year to celebrate their 1 year anniversary. And that was a lot of fun to kind of finally get over the hump into a point where I can actually get into like the way that thing is supposed to work. I streamed some Cadence of Hyrule last week. That was a lot of fun to play. And that game has a great soundtrack. They let Danny Baranowski have his way with Zelda music, and it's some great stuff. Wednesday I did some Fallout 76. I was trying to do that on Tuesday, but the Xbox decided it didn't want to work. Did that thing where you get the error, it's like, oh, this game's taking too long to load, sort of thing. And I was going to restart it, and it took like 25 minutes to do that. So I was like, well, we're not streaming that today. And came back and did some Nuclear Winter mode in that, which is the Battle Royale that they've got going on for the people that just own the game. And that's better than the rest of the game. It's like better than the game has any right to be right in the state it is right now. I had a lot more fun when I just went into groups instead of trying to play solo, because that's the beta right now just has 4-player teams. So if you just go in solo, you're just playing against 4-player teams for the most part. It's 52 players, and they kind of keep everybody in a condensed part of the map. So you kind of pick out your landing spots, which when you have a 4-player team means they pick out their own. So people decide, I'm landing over here. It's like, well, you're going to die pretty soon. But also you kind of end up in a situation where you try and pick a place to land and you find out, oh shit, there's like 10 other people landing here. We are fucked kind of situation. So, it's pretty neat. And there's like a whole leveling system just for that mode. And so when you go to like get ready to go in, it loads you into a new vault. Vault 51, and apparently as you level up in that mode, you unlock new parts of that vault you can go into that I guess has like story for whatever's happened with this vault. I don't know what that is, but I saw some areas that just have like a laser grid in the door. It's like, oh, you have to be level 10 to get into this room. I'm like, what the fuck needs you to be level 10 to get into this room? Sort of thing. There's some areas that are like level 30 and 99, I think. Special terminals just for people. So they got some things there, and I'm kind of mildly curious. And then I got an email. Just told me where my life is at right now. Or telling me that we got double XP weekend in Fallout 76. They're like, maybe I should jump on. I don't know why I'm thinking about doing that. But yeah, then I played some mainlining yesterday on the Switch. Which is a like hacking, I think it's called cybercrime thriller, like adventure game, essentially, where it essentially is like a version of like Windows XP that you're messing with. So there's kind of like a level of tech for that kind of era. And it's kind of hard to describe, but you're like the first thing is just you find out like, oh, you work at MI7, which is like a cyber propaganda group in the British government, I guess. And you've been hacked, and you find out one of the primary people is a moderator on this site called Freedom Wire, which is like a piracy site. And the guy's username is Muscleboy81, so, you know, it's the internet. And your job is to try and find out who that is and find some crimes he's been doing to link to him so they can arrest him for this and not, like, let it get out that MI7's been hacked. And you kind of do that by kind of using their mainline app, which is basically DOS, kind of doing some stuff through there. So you're kind of trying to hack into the FreedomWire sites, and the hackers kind of catch you and kind of push you off the network, so you have to get back on. But when you know, when you do that, you find out, oh, you already got his IP beforehand. So you kind of use that to hack into the site, download files, all that sort of stuff. Start trying to link things together. And so, like, in this world, there are, like, three types of crimes that you can arrest people for, which is, like, selling illegal stuff, like drugs, which selling drugs. I forget what the second thing is, but the third one is creating unlicensed software sort of thing. And that's the most severe crime of them all. But you find out this is all tied to a group called Thorn. It also runs a site called Grand Trunk Prime that is like Amazon. You might be surprised. And people are just selling like drugs, and you can get a hitman contract on somebody sort of thing. It's like, oh, you find out one of these is a Muscle Boy. And it's like, oh, well, he's selling software on this site. So, you know, you figure out who it is, and it's like, all right, well, here's the illegal software he's trying to sell, and, you know, pin it on him. And there's a lot of weird stuff with this. Like, the keyboard is like a split keyboard, so you're using the left and right stick to cover both of these sides of the keyboards and use the trigger on the respective side to pick the button that you're trying to hit, that sort of stuff. It kind of works, but it takes a bit of getting used to, and there's some UI stuff that's not great, and the saving's bad. So you have to like complete the whole chapter that you're working on, or else if you quit out, you have to start back over again on that chapter, which is terrible. There's no reason you can't just sort of save your progress, but and also kind of when you go between chapters, you lose all the data that you've downloaded from the previous chapter, which is why I've been taking screenshots of any like IP addresses and such I've been getting. So just in case, like, for the future, it might be relevant. It's like the guy that's involved in the second one is in league with the group that you were looking at in the first chapter at Freedom Wire. So you're like, okay, these guys are all involved. And I kept thinking early on, like, there's got to be more to this because you go into their site and they got a file named, like, mod names. Like, has the mod usernames and their real names. It's like, okay, how stupid are you as hackers to not put this stuff in just a plain text file sort of thing? But maybe for this era, it's appropriate. I don't know. But yeah, it kind of works. I don't know that it's necessarily a great game, but especially they definitely have some things they need to work on for a bit more. Just improving like the save stuff. There's some typos and such. Throughout, I don't think the developers are English. I think they're probably like Spanish or something like that, so it might be an issue of that. But yeah, there's a couple little things. Like, I tried to stream it last weekend and had control issues. Like, the buttons weren't working the way they should. So I think I was playing it in handheld and then put it in my dock and tried to switch to Pro Controller, and it freaked out. There's some weird stuff like that, but the day one update seemed to fix most of it, but yeah, it was pretty neat, and yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow. We're going to do our Ouya send-off spectacular.
Yay, I get to see how many games break.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, if any of you want to hop on for tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. I definitely appreciate having some people on. I just got to get my Ouya hooked up, make sure it's working all right, get it plugged into my HDMI switcher, and we'll be playing that tomorrow night, checking out a bunch of the games. That'll be fun. And I think that's it for the streaming stuff. I've been playing more Rocket League, especially the Radical Summer thing they got going on, the 80s events. That's been pretty good. And yeah, it's been nice kind of just realizing over the course of these 10 weeks they've been doing this Rocket Pass that I've been getting much better as a player. Not great or anything, but I can do aerial hits, not miss 90% of the time. It's maybe like half of the time I miss. But I have much more confidence in that. And it's always fun when you get into matches with people that think they're the shit and realize they suck ass. And they complain about how trash their teammates are. And it's like, you're the one with the worst score of everybody. It's like, go fuck off, douche. Also been playing more Borderlands, kind of nearing the end, I think. I don't know. I have to look up a wiki and see where I'm at, but the amount of quests I have open up right now is just one. And it's like, oh, I'm going for like the final piece of this vault key. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully you're going to finish it up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been kind of it. I'm in a weird spot with Pokemon Go. So Teresa, I finished the research quest and got the whatever unlock you get after whatever 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah.
It's a Pokemon I can't catch. It's got red rings, and I don't have any Pokeballs for that.
Alternate with a Nana Berry, and if you have any Golden Raspberries, you could break those out.
I think I just have
the regular Nana Berry. Raspberries, yeah. Alternate Nana Berries and the Raspberries, and most of the time that'll help, because the Nana Berry seems to... Like, it seems to last for a couple of throws, a couple of tries, and do curveballs, too, because that's going to help.
Okay. Yeah, I just got that sitting on there. It's like, oh, if I want to waste a bunch of pokeballs, this is a way I can do it.
Yeah.
It just feels like a huge, stop of progress.
Yeah. You're not just using a regular pokeball, right? You're using, like, a great ball or something.
I used them all on that one.
Oh.
It broke through them all, like, really fast.
Which
it wasn't even like feigning, like it was about to quit. I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Because some of them don't like excellent throws. Some of them...
you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, there's a few of them where you just want to go for a nice throw or a great throw and skip on the excellent throw.
Yeah.
Some of them are really hard to catch when they fly upwards, so wait for them to come down and Nana bury them once they're down, and then they'll stay down for a while.
Yeah. I don't know. At least it's going to stay there, so I don't have to worry about trying to do anything, but it feels like I shouldn't bother doing quests because I'm not going to get credit for it.
Yeah, you will. You'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if Kyogre is done or not. Do you do any raid groups?
No, I went by a Pokestop once when there was a raid. There's nobody around as far as I could tell.
Oh, okay.
It was at the cemetery, so I was like, I didn't expect there to be like a ton of people hanging around.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, find a Discord group. Somebody will, like, if you find someone who's playing and you talk to them, ask them if they have a link for a Discord group.
All right, it's a Latios.
Yep. Don't get Latios or Latias when they're flying high. Wait until they come back down closer to the ground and Nanabury them, and alternate with Nanaberries and Raspberries. Yeah, and I think for Latias and Latios, you don't want to go for an excellent throw, but like you said, that may not be an issue.
No, yeah. I haven't gotten many of those.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to keep doing those field researches, because people are getting shinies out of it.
All right.
Yep, and they look nice.
Yeah, I just got a bunch of fucking Pokemon. I think the dude I'm walking around with is Sudowoodo.
Okay. Yeah, he can't evolve, so you know, yeah, just keep that in mind. I mean, you could get
but I just maxed him out, so I need to swap him out. It's like 1,000 CP.
And I highly recommend Pokegenie, so you can find out what the IV is on the Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, I did find out I got the Detective Pikachu outfit.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Don't know how I did it, but whatever.
Well, it was part of the promotion when they were doing that, or the special event.
I'm guessing you just had to be on.
Yeah, pretty much. You just had to be playing then.
If I had to do anything specific, I did not do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's my turn then. So I beat Dragon Quest XI. God, those last couple of boss fights are insanely difficult. Which, I mean, is exactly what I was expecting because, you know, it's Dragon Quest. These are not easy games. But this one is especially so because... Am I the only person who's sick of, like, tiered boss fights?
As in, like, multiple forms?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. No, not at all, Brandon. That's, like, the whole thing of Final Fantasy XIV, it seems.
Well, anyway. I am. Like, I mean, it's okay in some ways, but in this one, it just...
It depends on how long each, like, phase is.
Yeah, and that was kind of my issue with this one, is it went on just way too damn long.
So it's like saying to you, like, you need to go grind.
Yeah.
So this gets over with faster.
Mm-hmm. And,
So you just go grind for 20 hours, and you come back level 99, and it's like, all right, fuck you, one hit, you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so with that being done, my primary gaming for the last week has been, you know, the Ace Attorney trilogy. I'm on Trials and Tribulations, which is, of course, the third and last game in the trilogy. I'm currently, I just finished the case involving the museum and the mass thief. So I'm just starting the one in the restaurant. And yeah, it's just... One of the things about these games I've realized is, well, two things. One, where exactly is this game supposed to take place in?
Oh, it's Neo Tokyo.
No, it's not Neo Tokyo, because Neo Tokyo is where Steel Samurai takes place in.
I just meant it's like a weird hybrid of...
It's Japan-America.
It's Japan, but we needed to be in English, because English people don't understand what Japan is.
Yeah.
So you're in like LA with like temples around.
What was it that it was in Big Hero 6? What was the name of the city? It was like
New San Francisco.
Yeah, that was it.
That works, I guess. Because it's really weird. Because like the game is has like all of these weird like American tropes and hallmarks, but at the same time, yeah, you know, there's a bunch of like. Temple.
It's anime at the same time.
Yeah. And yet apparently the judge has another brother who's apparently Canadian.
Like the whole weird thing is like that courtroom is a Japanese courtroom.
Yeah.
Like they're on tables on opposite sides of the room, not both facing the
and
judge.
And also because like I'm pretty sure that in Japan, like the verdict is basically handed down specifically by the judge. Like there isn't a jury involved.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that which I'm guessing is what makes that especially strange to American gamers because, you know, you play that game, there is nary a jury in sight.
No. Also, the weird thing is, like, your perspective is weirdly opposite of the way it actually is.
Yeah.
So you feel like you're on one side of the room. When you see the zoom out, it's like, no, you're on the opposite side of the room.
Yep. Like, how does this make any sense?
It didn't. That's why they took them so long to bring them over. She's like, how the fuck do we do this?
Well, they did it pretty well, because games are actually pretty amazing. And filled with just really, really weird people. And also, the trial portions of that game are incredibly stressful. because, yeah, you know, you really have to think on your toes, which is why I've been save scumming the whole time, which this game makes very easy to do.
Yeah, when I was playing it on my 3DS, I would just have the wiki or the GameFAQs walkthrough bookmark.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, ah, I'm stuck.
Because I will sit admit, here there are parts of it that are – I will admit, there are parts of it that can be very obtuse.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, some of them, you know, it's a bit more direct if you know how to think outside – you know how to – look at it from, you know, a defense attorney's perspective, like, okay. And some of it's, like, really easy because they just almost out and tell you. But
and sometimes it's an adventure game.
Yeah. And sometimes then you're like, wait. Because especially when, like, timing gets involved. Yeah. When it's, like, a measure of, like, 10 or 15 minutes that are unaccounted for. And it's like, okay, how am I supposed to prove that this person may have been here, but was probably over here?
What's the tiny detail I'm overlooking that blows this all up?
Yeah. But yeah, so those games are fun. I love them. I hope they hurry up and bring the Apollo Justice Trilogy over soon, because I've been told that those are actually a step up from the first trilogy. So I want to see what the step up looks like. Also, I've heard that the Apollo Justice Trilogy gets really a much, much weirder than the Ace Attorney one, than Phoenix Wright does. So we'll see how that goes.
That sure is the thing you just said.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so other than that, Netflix as usual. Like I said, Evangelion starting today. I watched bits of The Wandering Earth. Have any of you watched this yet?
Is that the Chinese movie?
Yeah. Okay.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's on my list.
Okay. So, Wandering Earth is originally a short story by Shi Jin Liu, the guy who wrote The Three Body Problem. Basically, the whole plot is that Earth is set on like a collision course with, I think it's Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come up with this insane solution for it, which is they attach a bunch of giant jet propulsion engines on one side of the planet and use it.
Oh, it's a Futurama episode.
Yeah. And then use it to move it out of the way of Jupiter. And then they basically kind of like go on like a course where they try and find a new place for Earth. It's insane. And the thing was, in the original short story, somehow Xi Jin Liu makes it all work. The thing is, though, the movie is a bit more of an expansion on it. I think the best thing I could compare it to is like The Day After Tomorrow or 28 Days Later. I mean, not 28 Days Later, 2012 or, you know, one of those like big blockbuster disaster.
Yeah.
Trashy disaster flicks.
Yeah. That's pretty much what this is, except it's Chinese.
Yeah.
And the effects are somewhat of a lower grade than what the ones you get in Hollywood. Not saying it's bad, just expect it to be big and dumb.
There was an English dub to it, though.
Well, unfortunately, no, there isn't. Yeah. Not yet. Because there are plenty of Western characters in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're there. So, whatever. Anyway, I actually have the short story collection that story is from. Which, by the way, I highly recommend if you can ever get your hands on it. His books are great. His short fiction is amazing. And goes in ways that you really don't expect any of his works to go. So other than that, second season of Agretzko. Aggressive Retzko. That's there now, too.
Yeah, that's happening over vacation for sure.
Yeah. As a friend of mine said on Facebook, Basically, you want to scream. You want to grab the TV screen and scream, "Take the hyena, you stupid cunt!"
Right.
But yeah, it's good. Watch the first couple episodes. Definitely worth watching. It's a bit more, I don't want to necessarily say laid back than the first one was, but you know, it's a bit more. Whereas the first episode had like a bunch of different issues and things that they were going over, this one has a bit fewer. Most of them relating with Retsuko, you know, having this issue with her mother who's trying to get her married off.
Mm.
And she's like the classic overbearing Japanese mother who like legit breaks into Retsuko's house so she can clean it up and cook her breakfast.
God.
Yeah. But yeah, so that show's good. And finally, okay, so I mentioned the stuff with Career Step, and like I said, I'm definitely going to need to get the extension. There's just no other way around it. Bird stuff. We're finally getting set to rebuild Coconut's his living space, because he's been in his travel cage for the last week or two. I guess I've already said that. I don't keep him in there, obviously. I do let him out. But yeah, so we took it apart yesterday, the old one, which, oh, that was a lot of fun. We had to clean up some pieces of tempered glass I didn't find first.
Mm.
And I stepped on a piece. Yeah. But we had to basically take the thing apart, like, bit by bit, including the door, that, of course, is completely ruined now, the rails, the support rails, the base, all the older stuff that we put in that, you know, like his climbing area and stuff, we're replacing all of that, and then putting all that in my dad's truck, and then taking it off to the dump, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But we're finished with that. Now we just have to get on the second half of the task, which is we've now got all the stuff, you know, now that's been delivered, so we can start rebuilding it. So that's going to be a bit of a chore. But, yeah, that's pretty much it, I think. Has anybody got anything else they want to...
Yeah, I forgot. We saw the Men in Black, the new movie, if you guys have a chance to see that. And you like the old ones? I thought it was good.
Oh, all
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was, I mean, I guess I should have maybe had a higher expectation, but I had
is the bar. Is it better than two? Low.
Yes.
Okay, dude, that's all I need to know.
Anything was better than two.
Anything is better than two.
I remember trying to play the fucking game when that thing came out. I was like, this is shit. The movie might be better than that game.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I'm just saying it, something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. Also, they tried to bring it back, the game, for like last-gen consoles.
Mm-hmm.
For three, I think.
Really? No.
All right.
As well as things like, you know, you don't have to release a game when a movie comes out.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that's not as a big a thing as it used to be.
It's because they're phone games now.
Yeah,
you just make you either make like some sort of Candy Crush clone or slots. I think it's a Game of Thrones slots game now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you somehow feel like you need to stay in touch with that franchise in the weirdest way possible,
mm-hmm.
you can do that.
Yeah, that
it's like, oh yeah, I hate this ending. Let me just gamble. My anchors away.
Alright. Well then, it's now time then to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, since I'm, well, kind of tired, I decided I'd do a short, little sweet, but no less interesting one. It's a food one. Are you guys ready?
Okay.
Alright, so, Let's see. We're sort of like all over the country. I live in Georgia. Pat lives out in Utah. You know, of course, Teresa lives in Chicago. She used to be in Kentucky.
I'm in the food capital of the United States of America.
Yeah. And of course, Phil lives up in Montreal, which is actually a pretty good place for food if you know where to go.
Trying to get a baseball team up there.
Yeah.
We had one once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to have one. It's a vacation baseball team. Half the year it's up there. Then they go back to their vacation home down in Florida.
Yeah.
It's an old person they're essentially sending you.
Yeah. So, but the piece I'm talking about today is actually from a... Actually, it's not from any of those places. It's from St. Louis, Missouri. Of all places. Now, you know, you think Missouri's like, okay, well, Missouri's in the South, right? Technically. So... Ish. It's like one of those states that's like on the borders. Like, it's like that and Texas and Kentucky. It's like they're one of those states where it's like, you know, they're fair weather South. Let's put it that way.
I think they're pretty Southern though.
Literally. Yeah, but see, there are people who would disagree with that.
There are, but
they would be wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so the point is, okay, so I'm going to show you a picture.
South without the swamp ass.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to show, give you guys a picture here in the chat. I don't want you guys to read the address because it totally, you know, gives it away. But I want you to take a look at the image, okay? All right, here we go. Okay, you see that picture there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you look at those sandwiches there?
Yeah.
You look at it, it's like, oh, that's something with some fried something or other in it, right?
Yeah, it looks like a fried half of a chicken deboned.
It's like, is it a chicken filet? Is it a chicken fried steak? You know,
yeah.
That happens. Is it a fried pork chop? Is it, you know, fish, maybe? Because actually, if you look at it, it kind of looks like a battered fish filet.
Huh. Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah, it's none of those things. You know what this is?
Armadillo?
Nope. Calf's brain.
See, I told you they're in the South.
Yeah, so this, what you're seeing, is called the fried brain sandwich. It is a delicacy that originates in St. Louis, Missouri, although this picture that I just showed you was actually taken in Evansville, Indiana. But... basically, it's a. It was something that kind of came about in the late 1880s as, you know, the stockyards started to grow. And, you know, you got all that animal with you. It's like, okay, you want to kind of use everything that you got. And that includes, you know, the organ meats. So they came up with the idea, you know, we got all these brains lying around. Why don't we do something with them?
At least not whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, so the KO's like, okay, so we're technically in the South. What do Southerners usually do when they find a piece of meat that's kind of unappetizing and needs to be made edible? We either cover it in barbecue sauce or we deep fry that fat boy.
Or both.
Or both. That does happen sometimes. So yeah, basically what they did is they came up with the idea. It's like, okay, take a big old slab of calf brains. Batter them up with, you know, and then, I guess, you know, with your flour and your battering and all that stuff and throw it in the fryer and put it on the pan and then put it between two sloves of, either what they used to use, like white toast, but now they use like hamburger buns. Here's the thing though. You're probably thinking, okay, so it's eating fried calf's brain. Here's the thing though. You can't really get the calves' brains anymore. Most of them are pig brain now. You know why? What's something that happens sometimes in cow brains?
Ooh, mad cow disease.
Bovine spongiform encephalopathy, also known as mad cow disease. which, as everybody knows, can in fact be transferred over to humans.
Ah, so they're eating pig brains now.
Yeah. Which means
a sentence I never thought I'd say today.
Yeah. Problem, of course, is pig brains are significantly smaller than a cow brain is. Which means that normally when you're eating a fried brain sandwich now, it's usually more than one pig brain, usually sort of mushed together into a patty.
Ugh,
have you lost your appetite yet?
Completely, utterly, wholly. Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you can always go over to Portugal where they eat them with eggs.
No. No. No.
There's just one part of that.
The hardest of passes.
Yeah.
I think that has been. Yeah, I think I'll stick with my St. Viator Montreal bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your Montreal smoked meats with their mustard and the caraway seeds.
Ooh.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon Train of Factoid. See, that was short, sweet, and yet somehow it still managed to be interesting.
Yeah.
And that is a word with many, many connotations.
The operative word is interesting. That's what you say when you go up, when you got your short story for your literary with your class in middle school, and your teacher says, "Well, that was interesting." All right. So, with that out of the way, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to deal first and foremost with the assholes of the week. And yes, and, well, basically, I guess everybody around the world already knows now, but we might as well say it. We got a bit of a massive humanitarian crisis happening on our southern border right now.
It's not the one that people keep talking about.
Yeah. Basically, because of economic reasons and civil wars in South and Central America, a bunch of people have basically had to pack up in the night and leave their homes, fleeing to parts, better parts. Now, most of them usually end up settling in Mexico. That's actually what a lot of people, when they talk about this in the U.S., kind of forget. The vast majority of these people usually settle down before they reach the American border. Usually the ones that get here up to the southern border are the really desperate ones. Because they're so desperate that even Mexico will not have the stuff necessary to take care of them. Up until recently, we had a catch and release policy, which was pretty much like 50 to 60% of what your average Border Patrol agent did. They would find somebody, they'd give them food and medical supplies, then they'd take them down to the station, see what their immigration status was, like, all right, and then, all right, you're not there, we're going to let you back into Mexico. And that would be the end of it. It's definitely not efficient or necessarily ideal, but it's definitely better than, separating the families and locking them in internment camps, for lack of a better word. There is a better word for it, and AOC used it. And now people aren't too happy about it and are trying to do – it's not so much that they try to use the moral outrage. It's the fact that they are using – they're being that guy. You know what I mean by being that guy, right?
Well, actually.
Actually guy.
Oh, yeah. Mainline, there's a guy that runs a site called Well Actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you think it is. It's a coffee snob dude. But I was like, oh, this is going to go bad.
So basically what happened is Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she did a thing on, I think it was a Twitch stream.
Twitter.
Twitter. Okay, it was a Twitter stream.
Yeah. She basically said, my heroes are the ones who stood up when it wasn't easy. Kids are dying in cages and on our border. Families are being put in freezers and dog pounds. Here's how people look for the journalists, officials, and everyday people stood up for what was right in real time. We are calling these camps what they are because they fit squarely in academic consensus and definition. History will be kind to those who stood up to this injustice. Say what you will, kids are dying, and I'm not here to make people feel comfortable about that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. Okay, so who knows when the who knows what it was when the actual term concentration camp was actually coined and what it was meant to describe? Because it wasn't World War II. It actually precedes World War II by quite a few decades.
No.
It was the Boer War in South Africa. You guys know who the Boer are? They're the white Dutch settlers that settled into South Africa when it was still technically a British territory. Mm-hmm. And a couple times in the 19th century, they had an uprising and tried to essentially separate and become their own country. And during the Second Boer War, the British, because they had so many Boers that were involved in the fight, they came up with this idea of just straight up putting them in a bunch of gigantic camps. And this happened actually, this happened between 1900 and 1902. And here's the thing. You know those let me show you this. Okay. Here's a picture. We don't put it on the chat because you can just go to Wikipedia and see. I'm going to put it on the chat, but don't link to it. You can just go onto Wikipedia and see this if you want to. Okay, you see these pictures right here? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you look at that and you think, damn, that must have been someone who was like in Dachau, right? Or Auschwitz or Treblinka, you know, one of those camps. This is from one of the concentration camps in South America. This is a little girl by the name of Lizzie Van Zyl. This picture was made in, I think, 1901. It was in what's known as the Bloemfontein concentration camp. So here's the thing, though. Unlike, you know, the extermination or the death, because here's the thing I think some people don't realize is, because we so closely associate the term concentration camp with the Nazis and the Holocaust, we think that a concentration camp's primary function is mass murder. You know, we think Holocaust, we think ovens and mass graves. That's not really what a concentration camp is for. A concentration camp is primarily meant to concentrate a segment of the population that the rest of the population has deemed either dangerous or somehow immoral, and we need to protect them and keep a close eye on them. And that fits the southern camps to a T.
Yeah. And the thing that people don't really realize is the Nazis rounded up Jews, you know, many years before they started killing them.
Yeah, the ghettos. That was ghettoization. Yeah. Yeah, so AOC was like, look, this is what they are, and I can't, you know, my conscience will not allow me to say otherwise. We are legit running concentration camps at our southern border, and we need to do something about it. And so all the assholes like Ben Shapiro and various Trump spokesman people. And
Liz Cheney was one of the big ones that first responded to her.
Yeah.
By saying, please, AOC, do us all a favor and spend just a few minutes learning some actual history. 6 million Jews were exterminated in the Holocaust. You demean their memory and disgrace yourself with comments like this.
Coming from a person who actually didn't do any research into history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I actually did some research before we started the show.
Yeah. And let's see, Lindsey Graham also stepped into this.
Well, of course, he's Lindsey Graham.
People like AOC, who are not lifting a finger to solve this problem, comparing the men and women serving our country to concentration camps, do the Congress and country a great disservice. It's like, last I checked, she's not rounding up immigrants and jailing them.
Which, by the way, how'd you guys like that ICE raid that happened in Chicago today?
Oh God, I didn't hear about that.
Well, it might be today.
I think it was supposed to be something happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Bunch of cities around the country.
Yeah, it's going to be there. I think they're going to do it in Houston. I think there's going to be one in New York, too. But yeah, a bunch of the major cities, they're just going to straight up go into the cities. And anyone that they suspect is not legal, they will straight up just intern them. So how's it taste, America?
Yeah, we got Nazis here.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, AOC, she went up and... and of course, I know Ben Shapiro said something. I don't know what it is because he's Ben Shapiro, and anytime I see his face or hear his voice, I want to bite my computer screen. But it couldn't have been good.
No, probably not.
Because and he's a smarmy, amoral dickbag, and I want any way I can avoid his very presence is a route I will take.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. God, 2020 cannot get here fast enough.
Hopefully there's a country left in 2020.
Yeah.
You guys opening up for refugees up there, Phil? Because
I still like the invasion idea, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. All right. But it wasn't all bad because we also have our hero of the week. Because, okay, so 9/11 happened.
Yeah, it totally did.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, none of us could avoid it. Especially me, because I was a freshman in high school and I was stuck in my algebra 1 class. But that's a whole other story. So 9/11 happened. And so there were all the first responders, the police, firemen, medics.
EMTs.
They pretty much, you know, just, I'm talking like thousands, millions even, got involved. It was basically an army. and they went in into the smoking, you know, cindering rubble filled with all of that toxic dust that they had to breathe in. Even though they had those gas masks, it wasn't going to work. That stuff was still going to get into their lungs. Now, imagine all the stuff that went into a building like that that went up in, I think it was, what was it, like the early 70s?
Yeah. Imagine, I can think of one thing that I'm sure was all over.
Oh, yeah, asbestos.
Yep.
That shit was everywhere in there. And so basically pretty much a good 70% of the first responders who have survived have had to deal with various cancers and lung diseases because of this shit. And they pretty much got, I mean, basically were told to talk to the hand pretty much every step of the way. When they told him, look, I think it's this dust that's caught giving me this cough. I think, you know, they were told, you're just like, no, it's in your head. Then they found out, no, it's anymore. And it's like, okay, because these are the people who went and, you know, what is arguably America's greatest tragedy. And basically the government told them to go rot.
Well, why on earth would they treat them any better than the veterans?
Well, eventually what happened is John Stewart, who was then still host of The Daily Show, got involved. And basically he took the whole thing all the way to the Senate, and he managed to do something that I thought was actually impossible. He shamed Mitch McConnell into allowing the thing to go to a vote. And it passed, but it was set to expire this year. Basically, John Stewart and all of these first responders basically had to leave their families and go back up to Capitol Hill to get them to redo it, restart it, to have a hearing to restart it. And he basically went to a half empty. He ended up having to talk to basically a empty or at least half empty committee.
Yeah, it was pretty much empty.
And he basically did exactly what you did. He basically called them out and shamed them the best he could. You've seen it because it went viral this week.
Yeah, sent some great things. Like, I can't help but think what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting healthcare and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Behind me, a room full of 9/11 first responders. In front of me, a nearly empty Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the House Judiciary Committee has unanimously voted to pass it, the mm-hmm. Never Forget the Heroes Act, which would extend the fund through 2090.
Mm-hmm.
The fund is up for vote in the House.
And it will probably get voted, it will be voted in very easily.
Yeah. Then it goes into Mitch McConnell's house.
Yeah.
Where he will try to set it next to the trash can and gently...
Or at best, he'll try and weasel it in into some sort of other, travel bill or something.
Yeah, so after all this...
it as, a political football and...
Yeah. Essentially after...
It's really scummy thing to do, basically. Yeah. But it's Mitch McConnell. He's basically half-turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after he said all this at the hearing, word got back to Mitch McConnell about this stuff. And he basically said, let's see. Like he said, I don't know why he's all bent out of shape about this. It's because you guys are fucking dragging your feet on this shit.
Yeah.
As this thing is set to expire in the near future.
Yeah.
And basically then, let's see. Jon Stewart showed up on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert to respond even further.
Yeah, where he basically told him, look, because Mitch McConnell said, look, man, we got a lot of stuff we got to go through, We can't do all of them. And Jon Stewart said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't know I have to tell you how to do your fucking job.
Yeah. And it's saying, you know what I'm bent out of shape about? I'm bent out of shape for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are the first heroes and veterans and victims of the great trillions of dollars war on terror.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, you vote for this, you know what? You don't have to do any more.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these people are likely to be gone by the time 2090 hits. And I don't know what the rest would be for. I guess potential illnesses their children and whatnot would have.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's like, you pass this, guess what? You're done for the foreseeable future. And you don't do some of the typical bullshit that happens in the center's like, oh, it's the last day we could pass this. We got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a reminder why he is the great American hero. And basically why, the work he did on The Daily Show basically defined my generation.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so that's the end of that. Now we got to get on to the proper show proper. And we start off with a story that honestly I kind of saw coming. I just wish it didn't. Because guess who wants to run for Senate again in 2020 for the good state of Alabama?
No, not the guy in his.
He's going to force him on this state, even though they don't want him to. Make him really uncomfortable.
Roy Moore. He's back.
Child
apparently predator. He didn't get the message the first time.
No, he didn't get the signals.
Yeah.
So basically he's going to run for... 2020, is that what Doug Jones sees going to be up?
Probably.
But though, there's one opposition. The GOP does not want him to do this.
Yeah.
which is like, all right, you guys created this monster, and you got to fucking deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember, President Trump got behind him.
Yep.
And now even the Trumps don't want anything to do with it.
Even Rand Paul was behind him. He was the only... member of the GOP in Congress that did not rescind his nomination form or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think I saw a conversation about this, and he's like, the guy that's writing about this is asking him, you were the only one that never, pulled your recommendation for him. He's like, yeah, I guess I never got around to it. It's like, would you still recommend him? It's like, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, good job making a stand on anything important.
Yeah. It's I have a feeling a Snowball has a better chance in hell than Roy Moore getting elected to the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but never underestimate what the people of Alabama are willing to do, despite good people.
Yeah. Remember, yeah. Doug Jones, you know, did win that election, but pretty much by the skin of his teeth.
And basically because of black women.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I mean, even the GOP, who, let's be honest, they've basically been absolute shit on women's issues these last couple of years. Even they are like, dude, there's enough creepy old men here as it is.
I think that was a big understatement. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not even the only creepy old man here we're going to be talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm afraid not. We got more. But anyway, next up, Harvard University. So Kyle Kashev, who is a survivor of the Parkland school shooting.
Yep.
He's also the only one who actually took it and became a pro gun activist.
Mm-hmm. And he basically went to the Ben Shapiro School of Shitbags.
Yeah. Because he, you know, much like a lot of the other Parkland survivors, he was basically given a fast pass to Harvard. Because, I mean, those kids, you know, I mean, let's be honest. What those kids did after that shooting, what they did, the movement they started,
yep,
that pretty much should qualify them being president, as far as I'm concerned. But
right.
But they managed to get into some good colleges. Except for this little fucker, because he had his admission rescinded this week. When they found out that back a couple of years ago, he was sharing some really racist shit with his friends.
Yep, stuff that got public, and surprise, surprise, when a college looks into your history, they see awful shit like this. Like, I saw people like, he was only 16 then. It's like, yeah, that's what college admissions looks at. It's like, especially like your last 3 or 4 years, it's like they want to know the person that's immediately coming in. Like, if he did it when he was like 6, like they could probably overlook it, but when he's 16, it's like fuck you.
Yeah,
people like I saw Ben Shapiro calling this like an insane cruel standard to hold. It's like, not saying the N-word is insane? What? Like, I made a joke on Twitter. It's like, all right, can I get into Harvard? If this is the bar now?
So if somebody got a D in math, like, you know, their sophomore year, like the entire freaking year long, that would pretty much not qualify them for Harvard. These are things.
Yeah, when he revealed this, when he revealed this, he made sure he was never going to get accepted into Harvard. Yeah. See, he just went after them. Even going to the point of, let's see, how many? Okay, there's 13 parts of this thread here.
Oh,
it says, number 11, throughout its history, Harvard's faculties include slave owners, segregationists, bigots, and anti-Semites. If Harvard is suggesting that growth is impossible and that our past defines our future, then Harvard is inherently a racist institution. I mean, that's not wrong, but still doesn't mean you get in there, you're not owed Harvard admissions. And also, guess what? A lot of shit in this country was created by assholes and racist people and real shitbags.
Backed up until about 1900, that was pretty much all of the people.
And it's like, oh, no shit, the people that ran this school were shitty people. But guess what? They're trying to be better now.
Yeah.
Anybody that's still shitty, guess what? They'll get kicked out.
Wow. I mean, there are ways to handle it, and being calling out like the school, that, you know, that's not.
Like, that's posting not a bunch of letters and such that he's gotten. Airing out the dirty laundry is not going to make them say, okay, sorry, we're going to let you in now.
Yeah.
To any school at this point.
This is basically a 13 parts letter to every school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, this is what you're getting. Good luck. Maybe some of the conservative schools will let him in. Liberty, that sort of thing. And yeah, like a lot of people in the alt-right were very pissed off that a school said, no, we don't want this guy that said the N-word a bunch and then basically moved on to, what was the group he was in?
Turning Point USA.
Oh.
Because of course it was.
Yeah.
So in other words, I have no sympathy for this bastard whatsoever.
let's hope that he learns something here.
And, I would like to.
You know?
He just doesn't have to get a Harvard degree in the process.
Well, those are kind of worthless now anyway, so.
talk about it.
He's got a whole section of his Wikipedia page titled Racial Slurs and Inflammatory Comments.
Not something
this
you want.
This will go down on your permanent record.
Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah.
Well. All right, next story. We're dragging up another shitbag, Alex Jones.
Creepy what? Naturally. Number two.
Yeah. Well, technically kind of creepy old person number two. Okay, he's not really that old. He's like in his 40s, isn't he?
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway,
I don't want to Google it to find out.
No, I don't want to send that signal to Google.
I don't want to I don't want to be getting my news feed like, oh, are you interested in Alex Jones? Like, no.
Oh.
Well, see, what you do is you have to Google, how old is that ass?
Now, see,
Alex
I'll
Jones?
Bing it. I'll Bing this.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do.
Duck, duck, go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, okay, so everybody, I don't, for those who don't know right now, Alex Jones.
Awards credits for this.
Yeah. For those who do not know, right now Alex Jones is currently involved in court with some very pissed off parents of Sandy Hook victims.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, he helped get that whole Sandy Hook was a false flag bandwagon going.
Yep. There absolutely should be repercussions for that.
Yeah.
And they ought to be repercussions right in his goddamn wallet.
Yeah. And one of the things he had to do is he had to turn over his computer files. Well, was it all of his files or just his emails? It might have been just his emails.
Oh, his emails.
Really?
It might have been both. Let's
see. So I have the summary here.
Just say, is it emails or all files?
In the Sandy Hook lawsuit, he's asked to produce emails.
Okay, so it was emails, and the emails that he turned over to, what was this? Was this the prosecution?
Let's see. I think so.
Okay, to the prosecutor's office. And those emails included child pornography. Now, before you get, there is a bit of ambiguity here. Because the question is this Alex Jones child porn, or was this child porn that was sent to him by email from various trolls?
So I have to ask,
considering who we're talking about here, both of those are kind of have merit.
So basically, I believe. So, yeah, I'm looking at a Twitter thread here. Let's see. He's asked to produce emails. He does, but his counsel doesn't review any of them. They just dump them on the plaintiffs. Uh-huh. The plaintiffs' consultants see child pornography. They contact the FBI, as they should. Mm-hmm. If I ask for the whole dump of emails, which plaintiffs give them, the FBI reports back it found numerous child pornography images, apparently sent to InfoWars addresses. As far as we can tell, nobody claims Alex Jones solicited or even knew about them. Maybe the FBI thinks Jones did something wrong, but, well, I suspect they'd have arrested him by now if they felt he solicited the images or knew he had them. So Jones throws a fit on his show and threatens the lawyers for the Sandy Hook victims.
Oh, God, and he took a situation and made it even worse.
Are we surprised at that?
No, not in the slightest.
Let's see. The plaintiffs have filed a motion. Thus far, they haven't sought specific relief, but presumably it's some sort of sanctions or a gag order to preclude Jones from talking about them or the case.
Yeah.
And concludes it by this guy by saying, Alex Jones is horrible, and I hope he gets sanctioned and loses the case. But it does not appear he was knowingly involved in possessing child pornography.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the decent thing to do.
He just stupidly turned over a bunch of files without coming through to know like what some of this weird shit might be.
But yeah, I mean, if it wasn't him, then legit we could say, well, at least that's one thing he's got going for him is that he's not a child pornography buff.
No, he just has on his cloud server of emails.
Yeah.
Stuff on him.
Yeah. You know, he could have just come out and said, look, that stuff is, you know, people from trolls who sent stuff to me, you know, and, you know, leaked my lawyers have told me that I need to wait at that, and now let's go to the other stuff. Nope. He had to straight up drag the prosecutors into it and accuse them of trying to frame him.
Well,
see, there are two things you need to know about Alex Jones. First thing you need to know is, number one, the most obvious one is, of course, the dude is insane.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely mentally unbalanced. The other thing you need to know is that he's basically a compulsive liar.
Yeah.
And all of his lies have to make him out to be the hero.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez, wow, he sounds a lot like somebody else that we know.
Yeah, except he's a bit more mellow.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Only slightly.
Yeah. Anyway.
You want to know how old he is?
45.
Alex Jones?
Yep. Any guesses?
How old?
45.
Yeah. Oh, I want to kick him in the nutsack.
Yeah. I ducked it. And that's the word. That's the word we're using now for duck duck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up. In third story of creepy old men.
Oh, God.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, why is he in the news again?
Well, he's out for one thing. He's free.
Got business to settle.
He joined up with Twitter and he put out a video and said, "Hey Twitter, I got a score to settle."
Yeah, he says he's got a little getting even to do.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh God, what is he gonna do?
This sounds like a bad movie trailer.
Yeah. Which immediately, let's see, how many followers does he have? 776,000 followers.
Boy, doesn't really take a lot to get a whole lot of Twitter followers.
I mean, he's killed some people, gone to jail for a while.
Well, he killed the first two, but he got off on that one. The ones he got to jail was the breaking and entering and theft.
Stealing his own memorabilia.
Yeah.
And that's how you get enough credibility to get 776,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah. And then he sent a direct message to a fake account with a knife emoji.
This is not going to go well.
No, but people are going to enjoy this ride.
Like, just sit back, relax.
Yeah, he sent this to me.
We're back in the 90s again. We get to watch all of this fall apart all over again.
He sent this to the Killer O.J. Simpson Twitter account.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Well, at least this time we've got the song Beautiful Disaster to play in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, they went back and forth, and then he just sent the knife emoji.
Jesus. You guys were right. This is a week of just stupid fuckers.
Oh, it gets worse.
I mean, you can see this one coming a mile away, though.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Order
that. That's our next one in the fourth in a series of creepy old men doing shit that they should be old enough to know better. Bill Cosby, former comedian and now convicted rapist, who is currently rotting away in a cell, He tweeted from prison on Father's Day, calling himself America's dad.
Yeah, so here's the tweets. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, it's America's God. Dad. I know it's late, but to all of the dads, it's an honor to be called a father, so let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families, and, oh, it goes to an Instagram picture, too. Let's see what the rest of it here. Strengthen our families and communities. Hashtag Happy Father's Day. Hashtag Renewed Oath to our family. Hashtag Renewed Oath to our community. Hashtag America's Favorite Dad. Hashtag far from finished.
No, very that, finished.
Oh, yeah. You yeah, are absolutely 100% finished.
We don't even need a fork to stick in him.
Yeah.
No.
He's doing it himself.
Yeah.
Now, let's see one of the comments here on Instagram. So everyone's cool with the whole drugging and raping thing? So that's where we are as a society? Give your friggin' heads a shake. Wake up. Oh, here's another one. I'm telling the guards you have a phone in the pen. Yeah, there's some people
snitching.
There's some people here saying they like Bill Cosby. He's like, sure, okay. I mean, you have your crutches at times. I'm as devastated by your loss of freedom today as I was on the day of your false imprisonment, so I'm not reading the rest of that.
Yeah, just stop right there. Yeah. Look, you got to understand, Bill Cosby spent so many decades actively building up that image that it took far too many people to realize who he really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, the Twitter comments are much better. David Simon responded, said, please stop.
Yeah.
That's just, what dude, I would say. Just stop.
Yeah. Oh, there's a good community gif in here of Ron Swanson going, what the hell just happened?
That's about perfect.
Yeah.
All right. That ends more or less the old creepy old guys doing stupid shit, but it doesn't end the people
creepy
who do
young
stupid
guys.
Yeah. Stupid shit that they should be old enough not to do. Elon Musk, because did he eat something?
Like, no, he's always been this way.
What is that?
Needs to stay off Twitter. That's the best thing, is just get off Twitter.
No, he's a Twitter monster.
That they were going to make some sort of thing where his tweets needed to be approved before. Like, seriously,
I think if it involves the business in some way, it does.
Yeah, but this was his personal
when he's just being an idiot, they don't have to do anything. They're probably happier for it.
Yeah. So.
And can we all just take a second to appreciate how great it is to be nobodies and that nobody cares about the stupid shit that we post sometimes?
100 followers and proud of it.
I have even less.
All right, Brandon, so what did Elon Musk do?
Okay. Yeah, okay. So you guys are familiar with Nier Automata, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I did a whole review of it on Smashpad. It was in my top 10 for that year. Yeah. An amazing game all around. Well, he put up a piece of Nier Automata fan art. I was like, okay, that's fine. Problem is, he didn't credit the original artist.
Oh, no.
And people brought it up.
And people was like, yo, dude, could you maybe do something and, like, you know, approve the, you know, like, say who the original artist was, give him some credit, maybe link to their Twitter or something? He's like, no.
Oh, that was his response.
And and here's the thing. It could have ended there, but no, he had to double down.
God, what is with this week?
When dumbasses are willing to just spread their ass all over the internet, people are like, all right, that's the thing you can do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Illustration that he put up on.
Yeah.
And that's in the link there.
And it's from artist Melly Magali.
Yeah.
M-E-L-I. Magali. I think her Twitter is Magali Prod.
Basically, replies like he's like, no, I'm not crediting. Any fool can find out who the artist was in seconds, and the act of crediting artists is, quote, destroying the medium of Twitter.
Jesus Christ. This sounds like with Colin Moriarty a few weeks ago when we had the whole YouTube thing.
Oh my!
I was telling him to compete in the marketplace of ideas.
Mm.
It's like, fuck you. The shit you're saying is just that stupid. Just doesn't even need a response. Just fuck you. But yeah, so it got to this point where then he said, right, the top image of this article, Brandon, it says, he tweeted out, just deleted my Twitter account. Top response, I don't think you did.
Pretty sure he didn't, since it's coming from
the same account. Know what else is fun? Read the comments. Look at all these. I'm pretty sure half of them are bots who are trying to defend him.
Oh, in the article? Let's see.
What the F? Why take pot shots? A. Elon. Got a T there, brother? Me, I just don't get, quote, fan art, and it should be banned from Twit. Oh, what?
Oh, love the hit pieces on Musk. They give me a list of sites I cannot bother with anymore. That's pretty much all of them at this point.
Yeah.
Anything that isn't Tesla.
You'd basically have to throw your computer in the garbage at that point.
He made her more famous with the no than with the credit. That is why he's one of the smartest men on Earth. No, he's not. If he just put her name like right below the image or with the tweets, she would have gotten the same amount of interest.
Yeah.
Maybe more. He just made himself the center of attention for this image. That's Elon Musk. He wants everybody to like him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does.
Right.
Not even his employees.
Yeah, used to respect the guy, but now I'm a little bit on the...
Now it's like, oh, God, we got to save
now
the earth
you know
through this.
More.
Okay. All right, so next story. It involves Cracker Barrel. Now,
Cracker Barrel, good this time.
Yeah, okay, so do I need to explain what Cracker Barrel is?
I'm pretty sure we're all aware.
It's like a restaurant store.
Yeah, okay, so I don't think... Do they have them in Canada? I don't think they have them in Canada.
No.
I think it's mostly a U.S. thing. Cracker Barrel is basically like a casual restaurant chain combined with a gift store.
You know Outback?
Yeah.
It's like Outback, but for Tennessee, and there's like a tourist trap store attached to it.
Yeah. So basically what it is there's the, you know, the restaurant portion, which is basically made up in the best way possible with like all types of old timey country type stuff. You know, it's like there's usually like a faux brick wall and a bunch of old antiques and stuff, you know, hanging from the walls. There's usually like a faux like stove somewhere, like a fireplace. It's meant to look really homey.
I mean, the fireplace is actually legit real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everything else is basically bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Including the food, might I add. Because
microwave.
Yeah, pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
It's like every time I go there, it's like I've forgotten about it. And then I have it, it's like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't go that often.
Yeah. You know, yeah, think, you know, something
like... It's
like
boilerplate kind of casual southern food.
Think Golden Corral, but worse. And there's not an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
That's all you can buy.
And pretty much the only attraction is that stupid little golf tee game they have on every table.
Yeah, that was the best part of going.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these little puzzles. Okay.
That and watching their employees have to go home after 2 hours and 59 minutes so they can't possibly get any kind of benefits or breaks or anything whatsoever.
Yeah. Basically, oh yeah, and then of course there's the gift shop, which is attached to it, which is basically a bunch of kitsch little tchotchkes and, you know, faux like wooden toys and stuff like that. Really cheap, you know, most of it's made in China.
Yeah, very much like off the highway tourist trap kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's every
you need something
barrel,
just entertains you long enough to get to the place you're trying to go.
Yeah. Well,
I posted a picture of Crackle Barrel for you, Phil, in the chat.
Yeah. I've been to many of those because I do live in the South, and against my better wishes, my family just fucking loves the place. But anyway. Okay, so that's the first thing you know. Okay. Other thing you need to know This week, a couple of places around the country, they had what can basically be called Death to Gays conferences. Basically, these were members of various independent fundamentalist Baptist churches. They're the ones who go one step farther than, say, Jerry Falwell would do in that. They out and out say that being gay should be a capital crime and that you should be put to death for it.
Oh, they're fun people.
Oh, they're yep. the best. And I know this because one of them actually had, like, twitched their conference for a few hours before Google pulled the plug.
Wow. That's – jeez.
I'm surprised it took them that long.
Yeah, right?
But anyway, one of them wanted to have an after party at a Cracker Barrel. And I guess, was it Tennessee?
Yep, mm-hmm. Their home state of Tennessee.
Uh-huh. And Cracker Barrel said, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Keep in mind, Cracker Barrel hasn't had the best message. I mean, the best reputation on this subject in the past.
No.
And apparently these guys were even too toxic even for them. So.
Yep.
At some point, you have to look at the business and go, yeah, this is going to do a lot more damage than not having them.
Than we're already doing to ourselves.
True, true, true.
We want to maintain a level of incompetency that we can stand by. And these guys want to sink it even further.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm so... So that is at least one feather you can put in Cracker Barrel's cap. Yeah. Or a grand total of two.
One.
One. You're and generous, maybe, Brandon. Maybe that little, like, broken off one that's at the bottom of yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, so alright, next up. Next story. So there's a YouTuber by the name of, let me check, what's this guy's name?
Elijah Daniel.
Elijah Daniel, okay. So there's this YouTuber named Elijah Daniel, okay? And there is this little town in Michigan. Is it Michigan?
Yeah,
yeah, it's Michigan. Yeah. Called Hell.
Okay.
Literally, that it's called Hell, Michigan.
Above go up.
Literally has the welcome sign literally says welcome to hell. And they have this sort of gimmick where a lot of people can sort of like, if they pay enough money, they can basically be mayor for a short period of time, usually like a year or under.
Mm.
And so he bought the town for, I think it was 1 year, and he renamed it to Gay Hell to protest the Trump administration.
Yeah. He said it's an act of protest against the Trump administration's recent rejection of requests from U.S. embassies to fly the rainbow flag during the month of June in celebration of LGBTQ Pride Month.
Yep.
Mm. Just in case you're wondering how big hell is, it's about 70 people.
Yeah, like so I said, it's
not really,
really
affecting
small.
Anybody's lives, really. Mm.
Well, that's, yeah. It's a good gesture.
Yeah.
And yeah, he said
there's enough money in YouTube to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And he said ahead of Pride Month, Trump's administration put a ban on embassies flying Pride flags. So that's today. I'm now the owner of Hell, Michigan. I bought the whole town and my first act as owner. I have renamed my town to Gay Hell, Michigan. The only flags allowed to fly are Pride. His flag role is intended as a joke. There will not be a ban on other flags. He has more than 500,000 YouTube subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost a lot to buy hell.
And here's the quote that kind of sets this all up. I have a young audience who is 16 to 24 who would not be involved in politics if it wasn't in a funny or meme way. I'm just trying to have fun and get my audience politically active.
Well,
That's a lot better than the usual way YouTube gets people politically active.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, boy.
Good on him.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yep.
Okay. Next up. Okay, so over in Norway, over in Scandinavia, there is an island that is nearby. And during the year, it goes for various long periods of time where it never experiences a sunset.
Yeah.
So it is announced that it wants to go time free.
I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, so let's see. The sun doesn't set for about 69 days of the year. Once go time free and have more flexible school and working hours to make the most of their long summer days. It's the island of Somaroey. Mm-hmm. Somaroey. Are pushing to get rid of traditional business hours, conventional timekeeping during the midnight sun period that lasts from May 18th to July 26th. Resident, that's Shira's Norwegian name. They met with a Norwegian lawmaker this month to present a petition signed by dozens of islanders in support of declaring a time-free zone, discussing any practical and legal obstacles, basically ignoring what clocks say about day and night.
All right. Okay, now actually think about it. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see the quote here. The idea is to chill out. I've seen people suffering from stress because they're oppressed by time. Yeah.
It's like
going off the clock is, let's see, quote, is a great solution, but we likely won't become an entirely time-free zone as it will be too complex.
Yeah.
But we have put the time element on the agenda and we might get more flexibility to adjust to the daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Somaroey, which lies north of the Arctic Circle, stays dark from November to January. Added behind the time-free zone is that disregarding timepieces make it easier for residents, especially students, employers, and workers, to make the most of the precious months when the opposite is true. And I can definitely get that. When you don't like have night, your body and your sense of time changes.
I read a sci-fi story like that once.
Yeah. I think Alaska has some similar kind of things that happen up there.
Alaska, there's a part of Alaska like for
where they have like two or 3 hours of nighttime.
Yeah.
Long periods of time.
Mm-hmm. Sweden as well. Yeah. They do. They have that problem.
Yeah. But here's the thing though. That's in Scandinavia and in and around it. So they found effective government ways to work around it.
Indeed, they probably very likely have.
Yeah. And will.
Whereas if we had that problem in the United States,
we still can't get rid of daylight savings time over here. So, yeah.
I'm not on a massive scale.
No.
No.
Unless you're in Arizona, then you just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Like, we got enough sun. Fuck you.
All right. Next up. You remember a while back when a submarine, people asked to name a submarine and it got what everybody knew it was going to get?
Mm-hmm. An internet name.
Yep.
Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It went on its maiden voyage this week and it actually made a very big climate change related discovery.
Yep. Yeah, the mission has uncovered a key process linking increasing Antarctic winds to higher sea temperatures, which in turn is fueling increasing levels. They found the increasing winds are cooling water on the bottom of the ocean, forcing it to travel faster, creating turbulence as it mixed with warmer waters above. The mechanism has not been factored into current models for predicting the impact of increasing global temperatures on our oceans, meaning forecasts should be altered. And yeah, so if you remember, Bodie McBoatface was supposed to be name of the research boat, but they decided to override that and name it the RRS Sir David Attenborough, which is a good name. But then the robotic submersible they would have would then get the Bodie McBoatface name, which no longer makes sense.
Yeah.
Should be sub-Inbox subface.
Right.
Yeah.
Took its first expedition in April 2017, studying the bottom of the Southern Ocean. 3-day mission saw Bodie travel 112 miles through mountainous underwater valleys, measuring the temperature, saltiness, and turbulence of the water at the bottom of the ocean at depths of up to 4,000 meters.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of helps add some extra data that would help us know how fucked we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now the reports have to say that the discovery was made by the submarine Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah.
So
that's in the history books now.
That went well for them.
Our savior is Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. But next up in climate change news, up in the Himalayas, they got glaciers, you know? And we found out this week that they've been melting twice as fast since 2000, since the turn of the millennium, which I got to admit is actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's pretty fast, though.
I mean, it's faster, but, you know, it's not as fast as my worst years were.
Yeah, so let's see. The new analysis spanning 40 years of satellite observations across India, China, Nepal, and Bhutan show glaciers have been losing the equivalent of more than a vertical half meter of ice each year since 2000. Double the rate between 1975 and 2000. And yeah, the study did not attempt to ascertain precisely how much ice had melted. They said the glaciers may have lost as much as a quarter of their mass over the last 40 years. The accelerated melting appears to be swelling rivers during warm seasons, but scientists are concerned about the long-term impact on irrigation, hydropower, and drinking water supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Although melting ice caps at Earth's north and south poles are already destabilizing the climate system, the retreat of Himalayan ice has more direct consequences for some 800 million people who depend on meltwater to sustain the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is affecting the water supplies to densely populated floodplains in India, Pakistan, and China.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happens between those countries? They hate each other.
Yep.
And guess what could happen if things get worse? Large parts of that lose their water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun, fun, fun. Fun times. That's what's going to happen. Fun times. Isn't it just...
Yeah. And that's how climate change affects politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can
you tell that to EPA, maybe?
No, they're concerned about getting more oil and clean coal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing that works. Just saying.
Clean coal is not a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's
no, you just get the kids and the dishwasher fluid and just scrub it clean, right?
That's literally what Trump thinks.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well.
It's like all when right. The oil tankers explode. You got to clean up all the birds and rocks.
Yeah. All right. Next story, another science story. Over in Australia, in the outback, there are tomatoes that grow in the bush. And recently, a new species of bush tomato was discovered. Here's the thing, though. It actually changes gender.
Hmm.
So
that's a nice little trick.
Yeah. So they decided to give it a name this week. What's the name, Chris?
Let me see. Where is it at? Solanum plastisexum. As a nod to the notable variation exhibited by this plant in its sexual condition.
Yeah.
The name for us is not just a reflection of the diversity of sexual forms seen in the species. It is also recognition that this plant is a model for the sort of sexual fluidity that is present across the plant kingdom. Just about any sort of reproductive form one can imagine within the constraints of plant development is present.
Hmm.
It's also known as the Dungawan bush tomato.
Yeah.
It's a distant cousin of the cultivated eggplant and is a close relative of two other Australian species recently discovered by Martin and colleagues that were also published in PhytoKeys. Mm-hmm. Solanum watnae.
Yeah.
And it has not yet figured out how to kill you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yet.
Oh, don't worry. It'll grow teeth at some point. And the scientists hope that the naming of this latest new species turns a spotlight on the fact that nature is full of examples for the myriad ways in which living things behave sexually. Quote, in a way, S. platysectum is not just a model for the diversity of sexual reproductive forms seen among plants. It is also evidence that attempts to recognize a, quote, normative sexual condition among the planet's living creatures is problematic.
Hmm.
Well, now they're making plants queer.
The thing of it is, that's like not even the only example of this happening
in the plant kingdom. Like, there is thousands of examples of that. Hell, flowers usually have both male and female parts.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, next up. Okay, so this week, a woman earned her PhD after completing a dissertation on black names. So she's an African American woman. Because if you know any in the United States, African Americans, you know, they have there's long been a tradition of
They like to have
fun with the names.
They do.
Use them, put lots of meaning into them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's a good reason why they do that.
And spelling them in interesting ways.
Yeah. In this case, it was a woman by the name of Dr. Marijuana Pepsi Van Dyke.
Van Dyke?
Yeah.
Or Van Dyke. Or Van Dyke. Okay.
Yeah. And the last name comes from her husband.
Hmm. Yeah.
So her
real name is Marijuana Pepsi.
And you're like, well, which sounds awesome. Obvious. Yeah. Yeah, she got married in 2017 to her husband, Frederick. She grew up in Chicago, between Chicago, Illinois, and Belvoir, Wisconsin.
Beloit?
Beloit? I don't know. But yeah, let's see. You think, well, she got that weird name. What about her siblings?
Tell us.
Let's see. Where is it at? I know it's in here. Her sister's name, Kimberly and Robin.
You know what?
That's not that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So she was the one that got the weird name.
Yeah.
I was really wanting to meet those parents, and now I don't know.
Yeah. Her mom apparently believed her name would take her places. In reality, she has gone places. She lives on a farm in Pecatonica, Illinois, with her husband, and they have 4 children. I assume they all have normal names.
Yeah. For the record, marijuana is just the Spanish for Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
So her real name is Mary Jane Pepsi Van Dyke.
Yeah. and she kept the name. She said she just wanted to prove that it was not a barrier for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, yeah, she got her every single class, so. The teacher is taking attendance a lot. As they slowly get through the J's, I'm just sitting there like, here it comes. Mariana, marijuana. And all the students turn to see who it is. Yeah. She wrote her thesis on the topic, Black Names in White Classrooms, Teacher Behaviors and Student Perceptions.
Hmm.
So here's the thing. Her name is now Dr. Pepsi. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Marijuana Pepsi Van Dyke.
Yeah. I want to put a pepper in there so badly.
Right?
Dr. Pepper-C. Yeah. Pepper-C.
Mm-hmm. I think you need more to drink before that comes off right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, the moon. It's big. And it's just floating up there.
And it's a harsh mystery.
What's it planning?
Oh, God, it reminds me of the beginning of the second episode of Futurama.
Yeah.
When they go to the moon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somewhere on the far side of the moon, there's a big, giant blob of something. And we have no idea what it is.
Yeah. Yep. That doesn't look good.
Yeah, so they've discovered...
Has the moon been smoking? Because that kind of looks like... the first stages of COPD.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've discovered this weird, mysterious blob with the mass akin to a pile of metal 5 times the size of the Big Island of Hawaii. The structure described in a recent study published in Geophysical Research Letters sits at least 180 miles beneath the South Pole Aitken Basin, a colossal crater punched into the lunar landscape billions of years ago. When the moon's initially molten surface, it cooled just enough for impacts to leave a lasting mark. The team discovered the anomalous blob by combining data from NASA's Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, or GRAIL, mission with topography from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. This data helped them refine past calculations for the thickness of the crater's crust and the density of the mantle, revealing the odd underground excess of mass. And the blob is likely related to the crater's formation, maybe remnants of an ancient impactor's metal core.
Mm. Mm. So yeah,
massive metal just got shoved in its ass.
Yep.
Just a bunch of metal that cooled rapidly and became just bleh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Interesting looking.
Yeah. All right, next up. Facebook now has its own cryptocurrency.
Well, They're proposing it.
Well, proposed cryptocurrency. It's going to be called the Libra. And what the fuck, Facebook?
with all the scrutiny that is on Facebook right now, they decide, you know, what we really
want
to
change.
We want to
change currency around the world.
Yeah.
So it's set to launch next year. They also introduced the Libra Association, a consortium of 28 companies and nonprofits that will govern the digital currency. Facebook says it won't directly manage Libra after the launch. Companies reach up to 2.4 billion global users, positions Libra to garner a larger mainstream audience than other cryptocurrencies have attracted.
Mm-hmm.
And they think Libra could become a stable digital currency used by people around the world. And I think it would automatically do the conversions between regions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does.
So, yeah, now they've gotten the ire of like the U.S. Senate and other countries around the world saying, hold on, back this up.
Yeah, this would not be such a big deal if it wasn't for the fact that Facebook's name is attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when people start talking about like breaking up Facebook, this is the shit they're talking about.
Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to have the world's biggest social network that is in some countries considered just the internet, as well as a messaging service that is encrypted by tons of people that, you know, you have no way of really following what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then also, hey, we want to take over the currency of the entire world.
Well, the two things kind of go hand in hand, because if you can't advertise to the people because it's those messages are encrypted and you can't inject anything in there, you need another revenue stream, and taking a little cut of whatever transactions they end up doing is a pretty safe idea. So I kind of see where they're coming from there. But they might have had better luck if this wasn't a currency that they were proposing and it was just them adopting something that, you know, already
if they were a part of a group of companies like proposing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Said it's Facebook and like MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, Uber.
Mm.
So I'm going to go with nope.
Yeah. Nope. Mm. All right. Next story. So a random hacker got this wild idea in his head. He was going to hack into Radiohead's archive, and he was going to hold their entire music catalog that was in that archive hostage unless Radiohead paid him a set amount. So Radiohead did exactly what you would expect Radiohead would do. They released it for free.
Yeah. This was specific to like 18 hours of unreleased stuff that came from the OK Computer recording sessions.
Yep.
So Radiohead decided that, yeah, no, we're not going to pay $150,000 to these people. We're just going to put it up on Bandcamp. You can listen to it for free while it's there. And if you want, you can own it all for £18 or $23. And all of the proceeds to that are going to go to the Extinction Rebellion. So, that's pretty much exactly what I thought Radiohead would do.
We're going to put all your stuff on the internet, you band that's on the internet.
We're like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is the band that, you know, gave away a bunch of its master tracks for free, and the band that pioneered the concept of pay us whatever the hell you want for our album. That was going to go very well for them.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right, and now for the entertainment portion of the show. Mm. First story, and it's from Disney. Avengers Endgame is making so much goddamn money that Disney has decided they're going to actually re-release the movie, but with new footage, just so they can beat Avatar's record.
Yeah, I think they're about 42 million away from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Avatar is at 2.788 billion, and yeah. Avengers is at 2.743. It's about 45 million.
So they're going to do another cut of the movie that's longer with the...
Yeah, let's see, what are they adding? Let's see. It has extra scenes that weren't included in the first theatrical release. Let's see. It's come back to big screen with new footage, which is an incredibly exciting now. So, geez, get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like extra stuff for like the credits at the end.
You mean the what they didn't do the first time?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to make people wait another 3 hours for. Yeah.
Here's that new trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah. Well, it's probably just going to be more stuff in there than just that. But, you know, a director's cut is not exactly uncommon. It's just this soon is a little bit strange. But I guess when you're that close to hitting that record, yeah, it's like, what do we do? It's like, might as well go for it.
And, yeah. And it's like, if you haven't seen it in the last 2 months, there's another chance.
Hopefully that stuff is in the Blu-ray, too.
Yeah,
I assume so.
I certainly hope so. All right.
When does the Blu-ray come out?
September.
Okay. Come out a few months after launch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have a feeling that that Blu-ray is going to probably set some records?
Because it probably will.
Yeah. All right. Next up, another Disney story. Well, technically it's Pixar, but they recently announced that the director of Up and Inside Out, a.k.a. the two movies that, you know, just let's just say it, it basically made you weep for your childhood.
Yeah.
They've announced he's got a new movie, and it's called Soul.
They can't do that.
I'm like, oh, God.
Well, it makes sense. The first one was mind, one was body, and the other is soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the brief description they have out is, ever wonder where your passion, your dreams, and your interests come from? What is it that makes you you? And that's it. In 2020, Pixar Animation Studios takes you on a journey from the streets of New York City to the cosmic realms to discover the answer to life's most important questions.
Yeah.
The answer is 42.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Never did find out what the question was.
Yeah. But, yeah. And,
It's out. What is it?
June
19th, 2020.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, penultimate story of the night, Janet Mock. She is now officially the first trans woman to make a deal with a major studio and Netflix.
Hmm. Yep.
That's kind of awesome.
What's she going to be doing?
She's the director of Pose, producer and writer as well. She's going to, let's see, 3-year multi-million dollar pact gives the streaming giant exclusive rights to her TV series and a first look option on feature film projects.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll serve on executive producer and director on Ryan Murphy's upcoming Netflix series, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Despite being part of the Netflix family, Mock will be allowed to continue as writer-director on Pose, the FX series.
Hmm. Mm. A little payday for her.
Yep.
That's okay, cool.
She gets to make some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Working for Netflix seems like the route that a lot of people are going, because it seems like you get a lot of creative control when you work with them.
It's what we call the anti-Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And finally, last story of the night, and I specifically put it at the end for a good reason. As I said at the top of the show, and I will again confirm, Neon Genesis Evangelion is now on Netflix.
Yep, and it is some 90s anime as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I am actually legit interested in seeing what, you know, the new generation is going to think about it. Because, I mean, obviously a lot has changed in the anime world since, you know, Evangelion first aired.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people kind of take for granted is that Evangelion was so influential that pretty much a good 80% of the anime that came after it is in some way influenced or just straight up cribbed from it.
You worried about the Godfather syndrome then?
A little. Yeah. Also, thing is, you also have to kind of watch this show in a certain way, because the thing is that the ending to the show that we got to the series isn't actually the real ending. The ending that you get in the show is the infamous congratulations ending. Because basically the last couple of episodes more or less take place in, supposedly take place entirely in Shinji's mind. The actual like ending of the series is the end of Evangelion, which is a feature-length film, which I'm hoping is also on Netflix now as well.
They have, let me see, I can pull my list. They have, yeah, Neon Genesis Evangelion. There's the end of Evangelion. And Evangelion Death True Squared.
Yeah.
I don't, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's there.
The problem is these are separate items, so I have no idea. I'm watching the show.
Yeah.
I assume that's the first thing to watch. I saw somebody on Twitter's like, okay, here's how you need to watch it. You need to watch episode, like the first 8 minutes of 26, episode 26 first. Then go watch like episodes 1 through 9 and then watch Shin Godzilla. And I was like, fuck you. I'm starting at episode 1. We're going to episode 26. If it gets too fucking weird, we're just turning this off and watching some something else. We're watching Stranger Things. That makes sense.
Okay, so here's the thing you need to know. In reality, the show doesn't really get weird until about midway through.
Yeah.
Because basically what happened is, well, two things. One, the director, Hideki Anno, basically had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And, no, I can believe that.
And he ended up going into a deep depression, and he went and saw, you know, a psychiatrist. And as you can guess, a lot of that makes its way into the show.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is they kind of sort of ran out of money midway through.
I want to say
assets. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I want to say I saw at some point somebody tweet out that if you notice that it starts looking really worse by episode 16 is because they did not have the original transfers.
Yeah. Also so that and they do recycle parts of anime. For the record, that's not exactly something that's unheard of in anime.
Oh, God, no.
Especially in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is because they ran out of money, they decided, okay. Basically, they did something that, well, basically most anime up to that point hadn't really done, which is they decided to kind of think out of the box. And they said, okay, we're out of money. We can only do little bits of original animation now. So what are we going to do? Let's just string some random shit together and add some other weird shit and call it art.
Paging Carl Masek.
Yeah. I laugh, but they actually did pull it off.
Yeah. We're
against all odds.
And so what are these other... like movies or whatever these things are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just watch the Neon Genesis Evangelion and then the end of Evangelion after that. It's basically like 2 hours extended ending.
So, yeah. And
there, I'm not really.
Yeah, that whole. You're going to realize after watching this just how influential that this show really has been on. Just this franchise has been on the anime industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, you know, Madoka Magica to fucking pretty much, I mean, you know, the pretty much everything after that.
Yeah.
Attack on Titan is another good example. All of that gets its inspiration from Evangelion. But it is still very much mid-90s as fuck.
Yeah.
In ways that I'm kind of sad is gone, because there are parts of that old vintage style that I actually really like, and I'm sad has gone. Yes, the kitty agrees with me.
Yes, she does.
All right. I do have a new dub, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah,
because the original dub was shit.
Yeah, I've been listening to it, and it seems fine.
Yeah, because it's unoffensive. If you were to the original, it would be like, oh, my ears are hurt bleeding now.
Yeah. Also, just a couple more things. Yes, Asuka is a cunt. We all learned to love her anyway. Two, Masato is definitely a borderline alcoholic. Somehow she still makes it work.
Yeah, I think when he moves in, he realizes, like, she just has a fridge full of beer.
Yeah.
And like two other things, and that's all she has, like no actual food.
Yeah.
Genji will try your patience and how much you're willing to let slide. And at some point you will scream, "Get in the goddamn Ava, Shinji." We all do. Mm. It is a rite of passage. Mm. And number three, if anything seems out of sequence, don't worry. They will account for it. It may take a few episodes, but it will.
Yeah.
And number four, all of that Christian imagery that you're seeing in symbolism, yeah, it doesn't actually mean anything. It's just... That was like, hey, this is something most people don't know. Wouldn't it sound cool? Yeah, it sounds cool. Let's use it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're probably going to be canceled in a week anyway, so what the hell.
Yeah. And I think we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
All right. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to go and I'm going to go watch Evangelion. What about you?
Boy, Bloodstained is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. All right. With that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked in the show notes. Also, on top of the soon-to-be-dead iTunes, in fact, is iTunes still around, or did they officially kill it now?
It's complicated.
Well, with that, we'll just say you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator or, any other place that you can do listen with your ear mouths. I usually do this last part so robotically that I kind of break down towards the end of it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. So for Felipe Denalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Sims, I'd like to say good night, sleep tight. I'm going to go watch Evangelion now.